everyone, and welcome to the Wayne Chair Show and Being Your Destiny. This time around, we're going to put an end to you being bankrupt. Bankrupt in many ways, not just money, bankrupt in feelings, bankrupt feeling like you're going bankrupt. We're going to put an end to that. You will know how not to be bankrupt by the end of this. I'm Wayne Chair, international author, speaker, and entrepreneur. And I love that you're here, and I love being with you, and I'm going to share with you exactly how not to be bankrupt. Okay, so you're probably wondering how I can say such a thing, and we'll know that in a minute. But before we get started, take a moment. Go to WayneSharersShow.com. Go to WayneSharersShow.com and click on the share button or the like button up in the upper left-hand corner. If you do that for me, that'd be just great. I love you for it. I love you for everything you do. And I love you for that, too. Now, as we move on, you may also be on the podcast page. If you click that little like button, if that's where you are, then it's right above the player. Then go ahead and click that. And I'd love you for that, too. And follow me on that page if you're on it, okay? Thanks a lot. Now, bankrupt. Back to being bankrupt. I've been bankrupt in my life in a number of different ways. So, no, I will tell you right now, I never filed bankruptcy in a bank. But I sure felt like that's where I should have been. And because I have lost everything twice. And I've had to come back from different levels of disparity, one way or the other. And of course, in the course of building my business and getting my freedom once outside of retiring from the Navy, being free to work from home, I definitely felt like I've lost everything. Matter of fact, there was one time I really thought it was all over. But I'm going to go back in time to the first time I was bankrupt, because for some of you, maybe it is the first time, or maybe you don't realize that you have done it before, but maybe you have. I certainly hadn't at this point that I'm going to tell you about here now and explain to you why you can apply what I learned and have applied multiple times now to recover, so to speak. Recovery is great, because one of the many things I learned from all of these things is your past is history. You cannot change it. Now, that seems kind of obvious, but how many people do you know that are constantly reflecting, not just reflecting, but constantly just saying, because of this in the past, because of that in the past, this, that, and the other thing in the past, the past, the past, the past. How many people are always living the past, right? And how far do they go? Where does their life get them? Where do they go in life? They're limiting themselves, right? Now, let's get back to being bankrupt. I'll tell you a little story here. This is actually where my depression began. So in a sense, I didn't completely recover from this bankruptcy. But professionally, I surely did. I leveraged it into massive success. And now I've learned how to combine both the professional and emotional sides of it. But at the time, it was the first time in my life I had experienced anything so rotten. My first marriage came to an end. I was married to a woman who just really didn't care about marriage. Sadly for her, she was she liked drugs. She liked other people who had drugs. She took my possessions and sold them while I was at sea. She crashed my car and didn't fix it. She stole my house. She took everything from me. She took my furniture, my possessions, everything. And while I was deployed, and some of you, I know some of you think, well, you were deployed, you deserved it. No, well, no, I didn't deserve it. But that's irrelevant. While I was deployed, she would charge up credit cards to the max. She would take credit cards out of my name and then max them out. I don't know how you do that, but she did. And then she would also sell my possessions. She sold possessions of mine I had since I was a kid. I played the saxophone. Maybe you don't know that. I had two saxophones. She sold both of them. One of them was a saxophone I learned to play. Not that I learned to play on, but it was the first saxophone I owned, which was a big achievement to my family to be able to own the instrument. We used to have to rent them because we couldn't afford to buy them. And at the point where I bought it, that was the saxophone that I owned. And I had probably 18 years at that time, and it was a kind of an heirloom I was proud of, and she sold that. There was nothing she wouldn't sell of mine. She sold my bikes. She sold my tools. She couldn't sell the car because she crashed it. It wouldn't drive. And when I returned from sea, she threatened to kill me. She tried to accuse me of beating her and stuff like that. She reported me to the Navy. And for those of you who don't really get how severe that is, if you're a man accused of abusing your wife, you are guilty until somebody or something will show that you are not. That is the way that system works. I'm sorry, yes, even in the United States, I don't care. The law says you're innocent till you're proven guilty. That is not how that system works, because it doesn't work inside of a court. The man is guilty, and I could tell you that was horrifying. So at that point, I was run out of my house. The courts ran me out of my house. I couldn't get back. I couldn't get my possessions if I wanted them, whatever was left, not much. I was being accused of doing things, horrible things I never did. And this woman threatened to kill me. That's, I've laughed. That's one of those nervous laughs, you know, because it's not funny. And at that same point of time, I was to transfer to my next duty command. So now I had all these legal... She was able, because she's a woman. A woman can file a restraint against a man, particularly in a state like California, anytime she wants. It doesn't have to prove a damn thing. And all she has to do is make a serious-sounding complaint. Whether it's true or not, it doesn't matter. And it's filed, and the man has to suffer the consequences. If a man tried to do the same thing, it would not pass in California. You would have to convince somebody of something. Well, she, on top of all of this, running me out of my house, where my possessions were, and I could not get them, and restraints against me, and she was the one that was damaging everything, attacking me. She actually bit me on the leg and then called the military spouse abuse system and said that I was beating her and that I bit myself, so I could say that. And this was on my thigh. You ever tried to bite yourself on the thigh? Oh, my goodness. So this was a horrible, horrible experience. And it ended up with me having nothing. No money in the bank either. See, the Navy, on top of that, until I was finally divorced and all this was cleared, they made me send all of my paycheck to her. I barely had enough money to eat. She was getting all of my money on top of this. And I had to move to another location. And of course, she wasn't going. And so I was, for all practical purposes, bankrupt. And oh, by the way, the result of the divorce case, even though technically I won, I had pictures and stuff like that to prove everything. And ultimately, in the end, that I didn't do any of the things that she said. And that was all ultimately proven in the courts. I still ended up having a house foreclosed on. She got the house because I could not afford to come back and fight about it anymore. So So my possessions were there, whatever was left of them. Everything was gone. My money was gone. My money was going to her until it was all closed out. So I literally lived day to day, despite making plenty of money. I had no money. It's really hard to imagine having money but having no money. I was bankrupt. I had to now move to moved to Arizona, of all places, and get set up there without any possessions, with barely enough, I had to make deposits to move into a place to rent. I had to come up with money to be able to rent, and that wasn't easy. So I had no furniture. She took all my furniture. I couldn't get any of it when I moved. So I had to rent furniture. I had no TV. I had nothing. So I rented an apartment, a very, very small apartment, rented some furniture, and prayed I had enough money to buy some food. And off to work I went in Arizona. I was mentally and physically bankrupt. I wasn't going to go to court. I was too proud to do anything in the courts. And I was already paying out my tail for a divorce that I should have not had to pay for, as far as I'm concerned. I didn't do any of the things this woman had caused. You know, I caused it by staying in the marriage so long. I caused it by getting married. So I did. I mean, part of the reason I was so depressed as a result of that, and for 10 years to follow, was I had failed miserably. So I became mentally bankrupt for 10 years to follow on the personal side, right? Very, very, very personal to me that I should fail in my family life like that, that I should have allowed myself to be in such a situation. Who could predict something like that? I don't know. You know, that's a bunch of psychological stuff, but I've been through all that. And, you know, that's all here and gone. I've seen many people, and I've known many people, they've had things similar, maybe worse, maybe not so worse, and they just quit. They just said they can't take it anymore, and they just stopped. They didn't necessarily go kill themselves or anything like that, but they may have just said they can't, there's no way they can move ahead now. It's just too hard. They're making everything too hard for me. And, you know, you may feel that as you try to move from being dependent on a boss to being your destiny, to living your destiny and living a life, to live your life from home, to be happy from home, working from home, being independent, making the money you want to be able to do that. It doesn't take a lot of money to do that. You don't have to make millions like they advertise. Become a millionaire. You don't have to be a millionaire to work from home. You only have to replace the income you need to be able to do that. Okay? So another way to prevent your bankruptcy is stop imagining that in order to work from home that you have to be making millions of dollars. All right? That's rule number one. You don't. You can start the independency by just being able to pay the bills you have now and do it reliably and repeatedly and be growing. That's what you need to be able to be working from home. You also need an attitude that makes your desire to succeed overwhelmingly stronger than anything anyone can do to you. Now, that's what I had on the professional side in the Navy. I had this overwhelming desire to achieve my first goal, my first major goal of becoming a commanding officer in the Navy. That drove me professionally that I just wouldn't stop working. So, personally, I just gave up personally. I have to admit that I let myself be bankrupt, that I didn't the connections with any family because I failed at the family. So I used that time to transfer it emotionally into my work. But you know, the end game of that. So here's the two sides of that coin. You never want to transfer your emotional side to your professional side and ignore it, because you will sometime later end up totally bankrupt again. And I did, and you will too, one way or the other, whether it's financially or what. It may just be emotionally, it may be professionally and emotionally, but you will end up totally bankrupt if you don't do things to make you emotionally happy at the same time. So while you're feeling these feelings of desperation to grow your business, to become independent, you also need to find things to do that make you happy. Small things. If it's just, let's say you're giving up, here's what I did. I gave up as I started building my business, after I retired from the Navy and recovered from my depression. I gave up, fancy food and stuff like that. So what would make me happy was I treat myself to a steak. I take myself out to dinner once in a while, not all the time, but often enough to feel that emotional gratitude. If a success happened, I would celebrate it. And whether it's personally or somehow, find a way to celebrate it. If it was taking myself out and doing something, if it was buying a program that I didn't necessarily need, but I want it, I would buy it. That's the kind of thing I would reward myself emotionally, as well as recognize I achieved a goal professionally. You have to do both. And that will prevent the bankruptcy, okay? Because later on, I had somebody actually drain my bank account on me. I kind of alluded to that at the beginning. And I thought it was all over, but I didn't let it get the best of me. I had learned how to reward myself professionally and reward myself emotionally, and so that I could maintain a true, powerful willpower that prevented the bankruptcy. Bankruptcy doesn't come from a loss of money. It comes from a loss of will, a loss of heart, a loss of emotional strength, a loss of professional strength, a loss of position that you own. And nobody can take from you as long as you maintain it and can put together, continue to work a plan to the next goal and to move ahead. It's all so very important that you do that. All right? You don't have to be bankrupt. Bankruptcy is a state of mind, and I don't mean it's a fake state of mind, but it is a state of mind, okay? When I say a state of mind, I mean it is real because it's running your emotions and your desire and your will. It's pulling at your heart. And when you go to the court, you may feel like you lost everything, okay? So if you got to the point where you had to go to bankruptcy court, you should have actually realized that that's a protection, that that's a win. If you found out how to use bankruptcy to protect yourself and then move ahead and grow, then you can actually make that a win too, all right? Everything's a win if you learn something from it and move ahead from it. Don't live in the past. Prevent bankruptcy. Don't live in the past. Always be moving ahead. Always look for your next success. Reward that success. Be professionally satisfied, even if it's just the tiniest little celebration. All right? Be mentally and emotionally satisfied, even if it's the most tiniest little celebration. Take the time to celebrate. You are great. You are a wonderful person. I love you. I love that you're willing to work to make things happen for you and your family. You will achieve that success. You will prevent that bankruptcy. You will be the person you want to be. You will live your destiny. I'll see you on the next show.